Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary, and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
Tuesday, July the 14th, 8:02 a.m. my time, 10:02 a.m. your time in Toronto and New York and Detroit and Buffalo. That's the Eastern Standard Time. That's what we call the main time we go off of in North America anyways. It's like Greenwich Mean for North America. But Greenwich Mean, it's a... England, you ever notice how England got everything? They got zero-point time. They're basically the cradle of the modern catastrophe we call the world. It all comes from Oxford, the university system. Money system all comes from the Bank of England. It all started in England, folks. All started in England. And there's reasons for that. You want to know more about that? Read The Light of Darkness, A Warrior's Tale for Our Time. And, yeah. I want to say that I want to thank the people who reach out to me and who are enjoying this new format. Apparently, I've got listeners because people find me on Facebook. They friend me on Facebook and say, hey. And these are people I've never seen before, never seen them in the chat room. They've never called into a roundtable. And, you know, it's very nice. Say hello to my buddy Eric. Beautiful family you have there, Eric. He recommended a follow-up book after this one. I might do it, Eric. I don't know. I looked into it last night. I'm not a big pyramid guy. I don't know what it is. Some things just don't interest me. And there's no rational reason for why they don't interest me. It just is what it is. Like, for example, I love all the really old places in the world, you know, and sort of like native culture almost. I like Central America. Well, Asia's not native culture, but I really enjoyed Asia. I like the places that are just sort of upside down and different from the way I was raised. So as a result of that, I have absolutely no desire to go and see Europe. Never have, never will. Never been to Europe. Can you believe that? With all the traveling I've done, I've never been to Europe. I mean, I've had layovers, I spent a night in a hotel in France, you know, a shuttle bus away from the Charles de Gaulle airport. I wasn't impressed at all. I also had Giardia, which is a parasite that makes you vacate your bowels. I got that in India. Charles de Gaulle Airport was my layover. But it's a beautiful day here in the Talamanca Mountains. Before we get to William Bramley and the Gods of Eden, which I'm enjoying immensely. I mean, we're going to finish. It's 2 weeks on this book. But, it's worth it because there's so many foundational ideas that people are talking about now that were in this book. And this guy's some kind of genius. I mean, or inspired. He was inspired to write this book. This is an inspired manuscript. It really is. But before we get to that, I have to talk about some very troubling things that are going on in my adopted country. Yesterday it was announced. I have to be very careful when I give this reporting because, believe it or not, Costa Rica has a law forbidding any criticism of the president. I'm not criticizing the president. I can't do that by law. And I have to obey the law, especially in a foreign country, right? I mean, there's not much law where I live, but this is the San Jose lawyer crowd, like everybody else. Politicos are the same everywhere. And this country is, it's beautiful. And a country is defined by the people and the culture and all of those things. And it's a beautiful, beautiful place. But folks, this country is corrupt to the core. I mean, it is corrupt to the core. It's run by a few families, and they're getting worse. They're taking this moment of global turmoil to just become worse. So big news yesterday, and a lot of responses in the Facebook groups for foreigners living in Costa Rica, North Americans and Europeans. A lot of people are talking about leaving. That's how serious this news is. So what happened was the government is enacting, all as a result of COVID, and complete bullshit. I mean, they were bankrupt before COVID hit, right? So what we're seeing now is the COVID pandemic and the cessation of all most economic activity for 4 months is going to become an excuse for a lot of countries to use it as what the insurance industry calls an act of God. And they're going to declare bankruptcy, okay? Or partial bankruptcy, okay? I'm amazed the United States is still giving out the Social Security checks. I'm absolutely amazed. I don't know where they're getting the money to do that. There's nothing real about this money system anymore. We all know that. We talk about it a lot. The only thing that's keeping it going is the belief people have in it. So the average person has that paper in their pocket. They go to the store. They put that paper down and they get a Snickers bar. What do you mean the money's not worth anything, Bruce? I just got a Snickers bar. Yeah, I get you. I hear you, man. But the money is still not worth anything. So the entire system is rigged now. The entire system is an open lie now. It just is. There's really weird things going on. Now, I'll get back to Costa Rica. I want to take a moment here to give you a little bit of counsel on maybe something you can do to help yourself if you have a little bit of money left over, if you haven't spent all your savings getting your family through this COVID crisis. Silver is legitimately starting to take off now. So on the Viking's advice, and for those of you folks who don't know the Viking, he does a great show on Friday afternoons on Studio A called The Galactic Council with his friend Christopher Jacobs. It's a great show. They get into all the exopolitics stuff, but from a very high level. And I enjoy it. Viking told me, about a year and 10 months ago when I was in Canada, He told me to buy silver. So I was in Canada and I did what he told me to do. And I bought silver at about $14 and I think it was 30 cents US per ounce. And it's sort of been between that and like $17, $18 and stayed in that for quite a while. And I mean, when I bought it, I was told it was going to shoot through the roof in 2 or 3 months. But, you know, there's a lot of inaccuracies in this alternative financial markets like crypto coins and precious metals, right? It's not that the people reporting like BitSwear and stuff like that are inaccurate. It's just that they're trying to read a fraudulent system that's lying. The system is completely lying, okay? But silver is legitimately breaking out now. It broke $19 for the first time since I've been following it. So if you do the math, from $14.30, it's now selling, the official ask price is $19.15. But if I were to just put this up on Facebook or something and sell privately, I could probably get $22 US an ounce now. So I've made about almost, you know, 40% on my money. And that's not too bad. Not too bad at all. But I'm not selling anything right now because what's going to happen amidst the uncertainty. And yes, it is what you'd call panic buying. It's opportunistic buying. But here we are on an alternative radio station. And why shouldn't you, my friends, who know how crappy this world is, at least politically and socially, I'm not talking about the beauty of nature and the splendor of God that comes into our hearts and our minds. That's beautiful. But I'm talking about the human organizations we live under now. If they even are human anymore, and I'm not even half joking when I say that. You know, remember the book we've been reading for the last week and a half, The Gods of Eden. And then you want to do yourself a favor. You know, I was actually exchanged an email with Bramley and corresponded with him a little bit. And if there's one follow-up book that he recommends to catch up with what he started in his book in ufology, it's a book called Dr. David Jacobs, PhD, wrote it. I forget where he teaches, but it's They Walk Among Us. And Dr. Jacobs was like John Mack, and he did extensive research on abductees. And he believes that there's an alien invasion going on. Now, the invasion comes through consciousness. It's literally like being possessed, except, you know, substitute an extraterrestrial for a demon. Right? And this is what I've been trying to say to you folks ever since I wrote Stardust Ranch, and Light of Darkness gets even more into it. You know, you want to understand what's going on in this world, read the two books I co-wrote. They're not my books. They're not my ideas. I selected two people to write books with who had something to say. I told their stories. These are not my stories. They are their stories. The first one is Stardust Ranch. It's John Edmund's story. He's lived on a portal-infested ranch in Arizona for 24 years. Right? Yeah, there might be a government base under there. I'm not saying the government's not involved in this. There very well might be a U.S. military cooperative base with the aspects of our military are interacting with aliens now, and they have been for decades. Okay? Everything we're living on the surface world now and at the frequency we live and experience life is a lie. If you can't catch this information stream and tune into it a little bit, then you're really not going to understand what's going on in this world. And that applies to even a lot of the hosts at this station. You know, I don't mean to, shouldn't do that actually. But it comes up from time to time, right? You know, people start talking about this stuff in the host chat, and Captain Rational, you know, we won't give any names, but someone we'll call Captain Rational jumps in. Come on, folks. Alien invasion. And it's just so tedious to have to hold this person's hand like a 5-year-old, give them a reading list and, you know, say, shut up and go and do your homework now. Okay? Look, I was skeptical too. I used to call into Keith AZ's show and mock him 3-4 years ago. Okay? You know, I was skeptical too. But I did the work. And I did it at a graduate level, not an undergraduate level. And the thing about doing what I did, like with Stardust Ranch and The Light of Darkness, those two books, is a lot of people who don't normally speak in public suddenly reach out to you. They find you and they reach out to you. And they talk to you. Right? And you get more information. And I don't, you know, report on that because these are private conversations and more often than not, these people just want someone to talk to because they haven't had anyone to talk to about these things, right? You know, and, you know, sometimes they come from certain sectors of society, you know. But if you really want to understand what's going on, read The Light of Darkness, because there's a big come-together moment we all have to have. And the come-together moment brings the religious people, specifically the Christians, shaking their fists in the air about Satan is taking over the world. It's a satanic Luciferian system. And it is on one level. That's the way they're projecting it to human beings. But it really is. That's extraterrestrial as well. So these two consciousness groups, the sort of new age group getting into the extraterrestrial and ufology stuff, and the Christians rallying about, you know, Satan taking over the world, these two groups need to come together as one combative force. Because believe it or not, guys, you're talking about the same thing. And I can't do it on radio. You got to read the book, okay? You're talking about the same thing. Magic is one of the oldest forms of technology on this planet. And it's magic, not science, that's ruling this world right now. And magic was given to us just like, you know the E.T. narrative, like, oh, the whole Roswell thing. You know, oh, they gave us fiber optics. There's no way this accelerated technology we've hit is normal and all of this sort of stuff. Same thing for magic, folks. You know, you don't figure out a numbering system between or a system of magic that involves names and numbers unless it's getting nobody by deductive and inductive reasoning could figure that out. It was given to the human race. Okay? So if you want to know where the biggest extraterrestrial presences are on the planet, look at the cultures practicing magic the most. I'll give you a little hint. Talmudic, Kabbalistic, Masonic. Okay? There's your hint. Now, I got to be very careful talking about these things. This is a subject that it is what it is. Right? It's expertly explained in The Light of Darkness. Get yourself a copy, EPUB. And I'm not trying to sell books here, folks. Believe me, I make 10 times more money technical writing. I got an Abaca farm now. I'm honestly telling you, you need to read this book. It would be great if you read both in sequence, Stardust Ranch and The Light of Darkness. You'll be complete. What Stardust Ranch explains is the portals. Okay, I'm going to talk about this a little bit because it is kind of connected to Gods of Eden, right? Bramley's book. The portals are the key to understanding everything, folks. Oh, there's no such thing as evolution. They're lying to us. They can't find the fossil record. There used to be giants on the planet. And portals. You want to know what portals really are? They're shipping ports on a certain level. Just like you have big shipping ports where the ocean liners come in and the big transportation cargo ships that bring the 20 and 40 foot cargo box over. You know, I live right by one. The Port of Limon is 40 minutes away from me, right? It's the biggest port in Costa Rica and one of the bigger ports in Central America. The portals are commercial ports, folks. Okay? And what comes in at a port? Immigrants, right? So if your port is a portal, you get port, portal, port, portal, right? A little bit of word connection even there. But everything at the level of sentience that's walking around or has walked around and talked on this planet, okay? Nephilim, that's an extraterrestrial story, folks. I mean, you can stay in the God narrative if you want. I mean, if that makes you happy and it makes you gives you a tingly feeling in your belly, then I guess stay with it. But I would only caution you that feeling good is something that they do to misdirect us. They put out narratives that make us feel emotionally good so we feel comfortable and we don't look any further, right? The key is to get away from all mystery, to figure out fundamental mysteries and get to answers yourself. So we were brought here. Well, we were sort of made, I guess. You know, there was an indigenous thing or species already here. And then something came in here and had sex with it. Now think about that. Think about some extraterrestrial coming here and impregnating Cro-Magnon man or something like that. That's almost like bestiality when you think about it. Anyways, my point is, before I get too far off track, is that the portals are commercial areas of commercial entry into the planet and commercial exit from the planet. There's galactic trade going on this planet right now. And some of it is very similar to the trade that went on when America was formed. So what happened? Brought slaves over here. Basically, anything going on the planet is going on out there, folks. Human beings are basically a monkey race. We learn by mimicry. Okay? So everything you see human beings doing, it's been taught to us. It's our true indigenous nature and spirit is very gentle and loving. We are a loving creature. Our nature is, Christ was right. The saints are right. Love is everything. And we are a loving creature. But the spiritual mandate and the biological mandate, they can't really coexist. You know, the biological mandate is to survive. And if you kept cranked up in a fear matrix all the time, you're going to be the most loving thing in the world is going to become a killer. Oh, they're trying to kill me. I got to kill them. I got to stay alive. It's natural law. I'm not violating any morality. It's natural law. They're trying to kill me. So that's what they do. It's how they crank us up. That's how they play us. That's how they use us. It's one of the ways. A lot of the magic being done on the world now affects us at an emotional level. It's not meant to change the way we think. It hits us in the solar plexus. You know, it's like a sick feeling you get. It's like going to see a horror movie or something. It's like a sick feeling you get. That's what the magic does. The other big part of the magic is to misdirect us. And there's a lot of people involved in this. Okay? So give that some thought because it's extremely important. Extremely important. And I can tell you unequivocally, from my perspective, the alternative media is not only infiltrated, it's being used as a staging ground now for new conceptual matrices, the same way the mainstream media was in the past. They're using the alternative media as much as the mainstream now. Okay? Because the stories we're getting in books, in certain very famous podcasters and YouTubers who've been around for a while, it's not really what's going on. It's a misdirect. I can't say for sure whether those people are in on it or they're just duped. Okay? They're just duped. But there's something going on this planet that's a big, big lie now. and at its core is an extraterrestrial story. World War II ties into it, the Holocaust ties into it. And this idea that it's coming out into the alternative media in a few ways. There's a writer you can look up on Amazon. His name is Len Kastner, K-A-S-T-N-E-R. You know, he writes about the Nazi reptilian alliance. You know, Carrie Cassidy interviewed William Tompkins, mind control stooge from McDonnell Douglas. Also talked about a Nazi reptilian alliance. Folks, from the research I've done into ufology, that makes no sense. The chief characteristic, the very footprint on this planet of the reptilians is magic, not technology. All the magic in the world was taught to us by the reptilians. All the black magic, the gematria, the numbering systems, that's reptilian technology. Who's using that on the planet? Who was using it before World War II? Who, despite the fact that we're allegedly being colonized by extraterrestrials, what racial, ethnic, and religious group on this planet seems to have a green light and a runway lit up and everything going their way? I'm not going to say anything out loud. That's how you get flagged. I'm just gonna paint the picture for you and you can figure it out. Okay? We're being massively lied to and the lies have come into the alternative media now. Okay? The wrong side won World War II. Okay? And that same psychic energy and that same magical spell is part of what they're using to try and destroy you now. Right? You're a Nazi. You're a Nazi. You're a Nazi. Well, if you knew what a Nazi actually was, that would kind of be a compliment. And I'll be back on the other side.
John Wayne, and I do a broadcast here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, called The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
Freedom and fear are at war.
And folks, I assure you, we are in defense condition one, as we journey perilously through this paradigm that we currently reside in. And I ask that you join me every Saturday, 8 to 10 p.m., Eastern Standard Time for the Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
We shall never surrender.
Many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives? But they'll never take our freedom!
The future is uncertain. I know this. Death is inevitable. I know this. But one thing is certain. As free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion. And as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
Looking good, looking good. Hi, I am looking good. Ah, hello, folks. Karl Marx here. I was just taking some selfies. I look particularly good today. The humidity is just right for my hair. One more. Okay, two more. Ah, wunderbar. Looking good, Karl.
Want to learn more about the Marxist agenda and other important stuff? Listen to The Ultimate Remedy with L.B. Bork, Tuesdays, 6 p.m. Eastern, right here on Revolution Radio.
Welcome back, folks. 8:32 a.m. my time, 10:32 a.m. your time. And I'm having a bit of a rant today. I'm enjoying it. I don't even know if I'll get back to the gods of Eden in this next hour. But here goes. I'm just going to keep going with it because I realized in the break there were certain threads of information I haven't closed yet. So Costa Rica announced the biggest cutbacks ever in their public services. The cutbacks equal about a little bit more than 1% of the entire gross domestic product of the country. And that's the way it was reported in the news. Now, when they report that way, rather than actually giving you the numbers and what they're cutting, it's because the literal news is too bad and they don't even have the balls to give it to you, even though they're your elected officials. It is the biggest cutback in services and government expenditure and services in the history of this country. The history of this country. And this country is a lot like North America. Remember, Central America was all European colonized, so the modern republics and democracies and various states down here are all more or less the same age as Canada and the United States. Biggest cutbacks ever in the history of the country. They just brought in a value-added tax, a VAT tax. It's a 13% sales tax on everything you do over here, goods, services, just like the goods and services tax in Canada. They brought that in about 6 or 7 months ago. It's killing the people. It's killing the economy. They're now bringing in a sovereignty tax. It's a special tax that they're going to apply just to wealthy people, right? And this is why expats are talking about leaving. It doesn't affect me. Remember, I came over here knowing all this stuff, knowing how governments operate. And what I came over here looking for was a clean and natural place to live, independent of money. And I did that. So nothing about my experience in Costa Rica is changing, but it's going to get turned upside down for the gated community crowd, right? So if you're going to go abroad, and a lot of you will in the next 7 years, by the way, if you go back to that Deagle.com website where they talk about the population reductions by 2025, by the way, they estimate a population of 98 million for the United States by 2025. I'm not saying that's true or wrong. I'm just putting an idea out there, and I'm putting it in context to what you're living through now with the way your government's behaving. And it doesn't seem so ridiculous that there's a lot of death coming now, does it? I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not trying to be a fear monger. In fact, the exact opposite. The exact opposite. And on that note, as I get back to my idea about extraterrestrials and religion, I noticed that a lot of my Christian brothers and sisters at this radio station, you know, the Christian religion is built off the name Christ. Christ is represented in the Gospels. Now, William Bramley got into this in a chapter I've already done in The Gods of Eden. He finds Revelation to be dubious. And so do I. And I notice that when my Christian brothers and sisters are on the radio, the only part of Christianity they remember is the war plan, the Book of Revelation. And they all sound like platoon sergeants. I don't hear too much of the love of Christ coming through in their voices. I don't hear too much compassion coming through in their voices. You know, compassion literally means co-suffering. That's what it means. It's not the same word as love. Love and compassion are two different things. To love something is to direct your best energy at it. But you're not necessarily connected to the outcome of what happens to that person and what they do with your loving energy. Compassion is a connection with the other person. It's co-suffering. Compassion is going over and embracing someone at a funeral who is completely distraught and sharing it for a moment, letting their emotions seep into you, taking a little bit of the burden off their shoulders. That's compassion. The Christ was love and compassion. I don't hear too much of that from Christians these days. I don't get too much of it when I erroneously stop in and listen to 5 minutes of Steve Quayle. I don't get much of it when I listen to True News. Now, I realize that this is a prophetic religion. It pivots off of prophecies. I've already given my thoughts on prophetic religions numerous times. Prophecy is not good. It's a power tool. It's a tool of the enemy. Okay? Christ didn't give any prophecies if you read the Gospels. Remember that. Christ himself didn't give any prophecies. And he was supposed to be the new covenant. Right? He talked about outcome, almost like a chemist. If you mix this with this, this will happen. If you think the meek shall inherit the earth, he talks about the people who are going to be blessed in the new world. That's what he talks about. But he doesn't make any prophecies. So if you're going to make a delineation between Christ and the rabbis, throw away the prophecy. If you're going to truly live the Christian life, live the love and the compassion. Don't live the Jewish life, which is prophecy, predictability, and making gains in adversity. When everybody else is suffering, you profit. That's the old way. That's the covenant Christ broke. Is it not? I don't want to speak out of place here. I'm not a practicing Christian or a Jew or a Muslim. I have what I would consider to be a relatively healthy dislike for the Abrahamic tradition because of the tools the Palladians chose to try and teach the human race. I think they made huge mistakes. And the Abrahamic lineage is a Palladian exercise. It's all Palladian. You get except for a reptilian encroachment. Can you figure out where the reptilian encroachment happens? Maybe I'll tell you in the next quarter of the show. I'll leave it alone for now. All I'm telling you is if you're going to be Christian, be Christian. Make your life all about love. Don't make it about hunkering. And if you get killed, it doesn't matter, does it? If you're a Christian, physical life is one component of life. And your entire physical life is an opportunity to earn an eternal life. So why are you hunkering down in hate and talking about building sandbags and going to war and killing black people? Why are you doing that if you're all about love? Same thing for the black Christians. Why are you doing that if you're all about love? We're being played here, folks. There are intelligences, powers, and principalities in here that are like 1,000 IQ. We can't outthink them. Our only chance is to live through the heart. It's the only chance we have. We're not going to outthink what we're... Well, actually, we do have another distinct advantage. There is a distinct advantage to being a human being on this planet when you're dealing with foreign entities that want to invade, whether you call them demonic or extraterrestrial. And that's all the same thing, by the way, the demonic and the extraterrestrial. It's all reptilian, okay? If they could do it, they would have done it long time ago, okay? The way they're going to try and do it is through consciousness. It's going to be more like a invasion of the body snatchers kind of deal. It's going to be more like possession. Now, the moment I put that idea in your head, scan the public space and ask yourself one simple question. Are these people human? Bill Gates, Fauci, Pelosi, Schumer. Are they human? Are they? Justin Trudeau. Ask yourself, are they human? I know I'm asking a lot on a Tuesday morning. This is what alternative radio is all about. So when you get all hateful, that creates space where you're... The only thing that can guard and protect your consciousness is love. Okay? There's, you know, a prayer is a form of practicing love. So when you're fighting back negativity and demonic encroachment, what do you do if you're a Christian? You pray, right? You practice love, right? It's the same thing here. It's the same thing here. Do not let these people bait you. Do not let them bait you. They're not actually doing anything. You're just acting on what you think they're going to do next. But you can't prove it. And if you act on it, you're the lunatic. You get the label. You're the crazy Christian cracker who sandbagged and shot people. And then the other side gains 100% more momentum. You see how it works? You have to have nerves of steel to survive what's going on now. You cannot be taken out. If you're taken out by fear, they're going to take you out. You're going to make a mistake. Right? So that's my message to Christians this morning. Please, be Christian. Stop trying to pretend you're General Patton. Christ wasn't a warrior. It does say he'll come back as a lion, but it doesn't say it in the gospel. He didn't say it, did he? Did he? Right? And as Mr. Bramley has so expertly pointed out to us, the Abrahamic religions are the most politicized and militarized religions on the planet. There is no militant yoga. There is no militant Taoism. There is no militant Buddhism. Okay? They don't exist because they're spiritual paths. Why is there militant, angry Judaica in the form of Zionism? Why is there militant, angry Christianity in the form of white Christian nationalism? Excellent questions. Why are Muslims so crazy? Why are they the craziest and most violent of the three phases of the Abrahamic teachings? Ask the Palladians. So, you got to really have your head screwed on now, man. And there's a lot of magic going on in the world. Magic is the main tool they're using. Okay? It's magic. Magic is a lot of things. But mainly it's about misguiding your perception. Misguiding your perception. So this thing's going global now. Costa Rica is losing its equilibrium and balance. I do not trust the current leadership. I think the wrong guy got into office. It was between a traditionalist and an evangelical. And it was a close race, but the evangelical lost. The evangelical would have won had he stopped talking about ending abortion and making gay marriage illegal. He could have done those things once he was in office, but he shouldn't have brought it up on the campaign trail. What you notice is that a lot of these people shoot themselves in the foot because a lot of topics have been weaponized by magic. You can't bring them up because there's like a curse or a spell on them. Oh, he's a bigot. He's talking about ending abortion, a woman's right to choose. Well, abortion's a blood ritual. Blood ritual is part of the magical system, but the public consciousness is not ready to hear that. They don't get it. Right? If you look closely at this world right now, and this is why it's so easy to see it as an alien invasion now, the principal characteristic of what's going on in the world now is contempt for human beings, and abortion is one aspect of it. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe in first-term abortions. I do. Sorry. Got a break with my Christian brothers and sisters here at the station. I don't see it to be the great sin you see it to be. By my spiritual understanding, consciousness doesn't firmly seed itself into the body for some time after the child is actually born. What we would call the soul comes and goes from the body. There's a soft spot on the top of the skull. Okay? So it's not a fully seated spiritual being in the body. The body is just an avatar. I don't mean to disrespect the human form. I'm not. But don't get all worked up about abortion. Should it be used as a form of birth control? No. Should it be encouraged so that the physical body can be harvested for medical benefit and a new revenue stream for these increasingly sick and deformed and completely satanic corporations? Absolutely it shouldn't be. I'm with you, Christian brothers and sisters. There is an evil in abortion. But shut up about it in an election, because half the population is under a spell. And you're not going to break the spell. You're not Jesus. You can't walk up, touch people on the forehead, and lift the spell off them. Until you can do that, shut up, get smart, and fight your fight better. We all got to come together if we're going to get through this. And by the way, we're not all getting through this. Get your head around that right now. Vast numbers of human beings are going to die. The difference between who lives and who dies is how smart, how aware, how balanced, and how spiritually centered you are. Period. Okay? And what unbalances you is magic. Misinformation, which might be 80% right or even 99% right. But the 1% lie, it misdirects you. Remember, figuring out what's going on now is like a recipe. You got to get it all right. Like it's that there's that parable about the leaven and the bread in the Bible. Right? You don't get the leaven right, the bread's not going to rise. You can have the dough, you can have the eggs, you can have everything that goes into making bread. You can have your oven prepped and ready to go. But if you get that this little part of the recipe wrong, the whole recipe fails. Same thing with a cake. The cake won't rise. Right? It's a little bit like that, what we're going through right now. What the Galactics are saying, like our friend Viking and people like that at this radio station, it's absolutely true. Something beautiful is going on this planet. Something like it absolutely is, and Trump is an arm of it, whether he's conscious of it or not. Okay? Something profound is changing on this planet. The if not the 21st, the 22nd century is going to be extraordinary. And this planet will still be available to reincarnate into, so you will reap the dividends as a shareholder of a soul incarnating into a sentient human form on this planet. Don't worry about it. Something beautiful is going on here. But remember, for change to happen, some things have to be let go of. And if you're holding on passionately to one of the multiple things that we have to let go through to go to the next phase of humanity, you're going to go where the thing you're holding on to is going. And that's the grave. So basically, the death that's going to attend the human race in the next couple decades, at a certain level, believe it or not, it's all going to be voluntary. You're going to volunteer to do it because you've been duped. You've been put under a spell. Why does the Bible go to such length to convince you to hold to the truth in the end days? There will be false prophets abounding and all of this. Well, I'd say that's a barcode they've put on you, folks. You're their property and you're going where they go. That's just my opinion. I'm not trying to offend anybody. Not trying to offend anybody. We've been given this platform by Mike Nighthawk Ringley to speak our truths. This is my truth. Everybody else speaks their truth at this radio station. Okay? Inspired voices leveraging off the Bible. It's an inspired interpretation. You're a professor, not a primary voice. Understand the difference? You've spent your whole life studying someone else's story rather than your own life story. That's the problem with this whole Messiah complex. The Messiah idea is the biggest load of horse shit ever put into the human race. Jews are infected by it, the Christians are infected by it, and the Mohammedans are infected by it with the return of the Mahdi. Okay? It's a bunch of horse shit. There's no Mashiach coming, right? There's no Mashiach coming. Get that through your head. You've been lied to, okay? They're playing you. The Jews have been screaming Messiah since, I don't know when, since the Second Temple was destroyed. We cover this a little bit in Light of Darkness. They had this guy emerge in the 1600s in Europe. Mainly lived in Amsterdam. His name was Sabbatai Alevi. The diaspora Jews, and most of the Jews in the world were diaspora Jews at that time because there weren't many Jews in Jerusalem. It's a Palestinian enclave. But the Sabbatai Alevi started an apostate Judaism in which he instructed followers to do the exact opposite of Scripture. On a fasting day feast, the Scripture says chastity, indulge in orgies, bisexuality, and bestiality, anything to offend the natural order. So his theology was literally to do the exact opposite of what the Torah said. Right? We talk about Jews, we talk about this, and there's no Jewish conspiracy in the world. There are Jewish ideas that infect people raised in a Jewish family. Just like Christianity affects certain people raised in Christian families differently. Or people, very often with Christianity, it's the late adherents, the people who pick up the faith at AA meetings or stuff like that. And there's a lot of pickup in Christianity. A lot of lost souls get attracted to this religion. Right? And it works for them. There is a spiritual power in Christianity. It's one of the best religions out there for picking you up off the street. It really is. And you got to tip your hat to that because they're doing that job. A lot of charity and love goes out through the Christian teachings, and I'm not disrespecting that. All the soup kitchens, all the loving help that goes out to humanity. Please try to understand what I'm saying and don't receive me in an extremist way. It's very important. I promise I'm getting to Bramley in the second hour, but I haven't had haven't had any Bruce time in quite a while on this McDonald in the morning show. I'm sticking fairly strictly to my formula, right? Fairly strictly to my formula, which is to cover these books. I spring off them and talk about them. I don't read them at all, really. I read snippets here and there, right? It's amazing how quickly I can move through a book. And you almost understand it like you read it, but read it nonetheless. Read it. Get yourself a copy of William Bramley's The Gods of Eden. It will change the way you see this reality. Right? Especially you Christians. You're out there telling everybody to read your book and change their reality. Take a little bit of your own medicine. Oh, but the book tells you not to read any other books, does it? Doesn't it? It really likes fidelity, that. Are you starting to realize how cultish your religion is? Right? All the mental programming in it, all the fear techniques. Don't leave, you'll be destroyed forever, you'll go to an eternal hell. You're an idiot if you believe that. I'm calling you an idiot right to your face. You're a bloody idiot if you believe that. You're being played. Oh, Bruce has got the devil in him today. Something happened when Bruce wrote that book. Darkness got whatever you got to tell to rationalize your... Whatever you need to tell yourself to rationalize staying in the limited position of the cubbyhole you've chosen, you'll do it, including disparaging me. You'll do it because in for a penny, in for a pound, right? I notice Christians are all running away from Trump now, cowards that they are. He never was King Cyrus. He never was any of these things you morons thought he was. Okay? You want to know who Trump is? He's Sammy the Bull Gravano. The guy who brought down John Gotti, John Gotti's right-hand man. Trump's a guy who lived in this world like Ronald Bernard, probably got as far as being invited into the murder rituals, the child murder rituals. He hit his wall and said no more, kept his mouth shut and didn't rat them out. They thought they could trust him. He ran for office. He teamed up with some other people. This is what's going on. Okay? See you on the other side.
Executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of
be
more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, stupidity.
I'll do you for that. What? Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible!
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs!
Roundtable Live Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
Revolution, Revolution Radio.
You don't see it, do you? How close we are to absolute chaos. The sick ones are sitting on their fat masses, eating and drinking themselves into a stupor, polluting the world without a second thought while it goes down the toilet. Nobody wants to do the nasty work. You know, the shit that we all just think about. Most good citizens are just along for the ride and then bitch and moan and complain about everything when it doesn't work out. Not me. Get it done.
Revolution Radio, where we do the nasty work. www.freedomslips.com.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect
us.
We're already here.
Back to that music. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to McDonald in the Morning. I am Bruce McDonald. It's 9:02 a.m. my time, 11:02 a.m. your time. I'm going to have to sneeze here. You'll have to excuse me. Excuse me. And a lot of pollen in the air, I think. We're going to get back to the Gods of Eden now. And where we left off yesterday was this Knights Templar chapter, right? Which is quite fascinating. One moment. Wow. Sneeze once, sneeze twice. So the Templars, now this is all taking place around the early 1300s, right? What we would call the 14th century. You know, so 1307, 1314. And these organizations, we can look upon them as secret societies, absolutely. And they existed long before the Freemasons. The Freemasons don't come into effect until about the 1670s in London, England, also covered in The Light of Darkness. Read the book. There's a lot of information in there, plus a really cool story about a guy's life, one guy's life. The Masons are pretty much, the Talmudic Kabbalistic Masons are pretty much running the world now. And because what they got into before anybody else was the money. And because the Bank of England became the model for all central banks, it's pretty much England now, okay? The church is still in on this. The church is in on everything because there are laws and contracts that precede the modern world, which are not null and void yet, right? So, but this whole secret society thing, it really begins a long time ago. And, well, I mean, truth be told, it's been around since the beginning of time. And there are need, there are, despite the stirring speech by John F. Kennedy, there is a need for secret societies. Not all people are born the same. We're not all equal. Some people are born with a much higher capacity to understand what's going on here, much better reception to what we would call subtle energies. Those people congregate and form groups, and if it's done benignly, they steer society in a very good direction, okay? Or aid in the steering of society in a very good direction. If their core beliefs and understandings of reality were made public, they might be killed. They might be burned at the stake. Okay, so there is a reason for secret societies. When Kennedy made his speech in the early 60s, probably less so. The, you know, the secret societies, if they're original purpose was benign. Everything goes in a circle, right, folks? There's the dark side of the moon, and then there's the light side of the moon. Everything goes in a circle, especially when most of the stuff you're studying is astral, fourth dimensional, right? So if you try your very, very, very best to be, and consciously, in terms of thought form, try to make yourself the very best human being you can be, at some point in your life, you're going to be a very dark human being, just because you haven't dealt with your Jungian shadow. And that a lot of what's going on in the world now is the human race dealing with its shadow, right? We're dealing with our Jungian shadow and the stuff we want to pretend that isn't a part of us. But it is. And there's nothing wrong with having darkness in you. Absolutely not. This whole bipolar fight between light and dark is ridiculous. What we want to do is you want to rise above it and see how the two polarities work together to create a higher state of consciousness. Okay? Big point to understand there. Because as things go down and they move forward, if there's a spirit of judgment, as the disclosures and the trials and everything start to come out, what's going to happen is that's going to extend this nonsense. What we want to do is get rid of it, okay? And to get rid of it is to make your peace with it. It happened, you know, it is what it is. I assure you, most of the people caught up in the darkness in this world at an initiatic level, you know, the rituals and all of this stuff, 80-90% of them are there involuntarily. They were born into it. They never had a chance. Or they were highly talented individuals who were compromised. Compromise is the way a lot of people end up in this world, folks. A lot of people. Okay? And they do it differently with everybody. Again, this is really well described in The Light of Darkness, A Warrior's Tale for Our Time. Very well described. So let's say that you are a really accomplished soldier, that you're a special forces guy, and you do, you know, 5 or 7 years in the military, and you do 3 or 4 tours of duty, Afghanistan, Iraq, you're a Green Beret, you're a Navy SEAL, you're this, you're that, you're an elite soldier. When you're done, you're going to be approached by agencies to do work for them on contract. It pays really well. Really, really well. If they really like you and they think you're special and they want you to work with them on a near full-time basis, they don't ask you. What they do is they send you out on a job. They set you up. They have everything. They have all the evidence they need to prove you did this, whatever it is. You know, you may have thought you were doing it for patriotic reasons. An enemy of the United States needs to be taken out. You and your team of private contractors go in and kill them. And your handlers have been casing the whole thing with satellite, and they have their own people on the ground in the foreign country getting shell casings and maybe even fingerprints because you had to take your glove off. They gather up all the evidence, they show it to you, and they say, you're ours now. You ever step out of line, you're going to jail for 25 years. That was an unsanctioned mission. You murdered someone in a foreign country. We'll throw you in a Turkish prison or wherever the country was. And that's how you get owned. It's that simple. And the whole time you're doing what they asked you to do, you think you did it for patriotic and selfless reasons. They're scumbags. I mean, they're the ultimate knife in the back people. Okay? So that's how they get you into these organizations. That's how they get you to be a part of them. They compromise you. So this great and massive and dark force we're up against, let's call them the Satanists, you know, the people under this malignant spiritual influence or fourth dimensional influence, which is extraterrestrial in my narrative, but we'll call it demonic or satanic in your narrative. They're really the same narrative. I don't delineate between the two of them anymore. When we look at this force we're up against, it's really not that powerful. And it's not that powerful because there's no heart energy. Nobody's fighting with their heart. 80-90% of the people involved are compromised. They're not there because they want to be there. They're like doing a sentence, right? Listen to some of this survivor testimony, the people who escape. You know, go and listen if you can still find it. It's probably been scrubbed. Go and listen to the mid-90s interview with Arizona Wilder with David Icke. Listen to the Sfali interviews. Listen to the Kathy O'Brien interviews. Okay? They tell you everything that you need to know. And all three of those women, and they're all women, they all say the same thing. 80, 90% of the people given the opportunity would leave. It's very difficult to leave, though. If you're born into it, they control every aspect of your life. They control you through money. That's how they do it if you're born into it. You know, so you're never really going to get out of it. So that's not a strong fighting force. Those are like the orcs in The Lord of the Rings. They're not really there fighting because they love Sauron. They're mind controlled, right? As soon as the tower and the eye comes down, they all die along with the master. That's how it works. So the force we're up against is really not that powerful. Okay? They have institutional control now and institutional communication through the mainstream, and they've made significant roads into infiltrating our thing, the alternative media. Okay? Especially in the book publishing world. That's where they do a lot of their work, right? Because, you know, let's be honest. Let's have a moment of honesty here. The alternative media world is extremely lazy and unprofessional. We're not professional journalists. We don't have researchers. We don't have fact checkers. We're all basically getting on air or doing our YouTube thing and interview or speaking for an unnamed source that can't be, you know, David Wilcock, my unnamed source. It's always this unnamed source, the unnamed source who gave Sean David Morton Sands of Time, right? It's always an unnamed source. That's not journalism, folks. You don't go to press with one unnamed source. Wall Street Journal or the New York Times would not do that. I'm not saying they're better. They're completely corrupt for different reasons. I'm talking about the corruption in the alternative media. You don't go to press with one source. No editor would allow you to do that, especially if it's a litigious topic. You need it corroborated. It can be off the record. The person's name doesn't have to be in the story. But it has to be corroborated. And if you look at the history of prosecution in rights of the press cases, a lot of times the judges will not force the journalist to name his sources. But generally, when you watch the cases go down, the editors go in as well and they take the stand and they testify. Yes, there's more than one source. There were three. We found this to be a very contentious story. We weren't going to go to press without it, without corroboration. Our reporter was able to corroborate the story to our satisfaction. Prosecuting attorney says, name the sources. The editor says, I can't do that. And they've gone to jail in the past for this to defend their sources. But the point is, you have to hear something from more than one source for it to be ready for public consumption. And the sources can't know each other. They can't be working together. Right? So we don't do that in the alternative media. It's all secret source bullshit. Right? There's people who've made entire livelihoods. Excuse me. The cigar went down the wrong place. There's people who've made entire careers with secret source journalism on YouTube, right? And it's interesting. I mean, it's salacious, right? It stimulates us. It's salacious. We all like it. Like a car accident. You can't help but crank your neck and look, right? But it's not journalism, and we need to understand that, okay? I said I was going to get back to the Knights of Templar, Gods of Eden. I'm not really doing that, so excuse me, but I don't know. I'm just kind of on a roll today. I'd rather just talk off my head. I want to stress something again that I talked about in the first hour. there's a number of different data streams that are spiritually the same in terms of heart energy that should be working together. But because of detailed difference and dogmatic differences, they're not working together. Okay? The Christians and the ET people, the galactic people, you should be working together. You should definitely be working together. You're saying the same thing. Swap angels and demons out for extraterrestrials, Pleiadians and reptilians, and you're talking about the same thing. Okay? It's all the same thing. If you'll notice the people who do really well, what they do is they create a completely alternative narrative to explain traditional spiritual concepts. You know? So one of the big buzzwords in this new language, this new linguistic structure that's coming up is frequency. Right? What is frequency? Well, it's what you're tuned into, it's what you're receiving, right? You know what they called that in the past? They called that an oracle. The Greeks had them, the Romans had them. They would put these, usually women, in temples. And when they were going to be asked to bring forth information from the other side, they had things they would burn. And not like the Indians burn sage and stuff, but I don't know what it was, but they would get, it might have been cannabis or something, but they would burn it like incense in like a big pot, and it would float through the temple, and you would breathe it in. You didn't inhale it like a cigarette. But the oracle would get high or something, or get into another state of consciousness and deliver the report. That's how they did it. Today we call that frequency, we call that channeling, we call that all these things. You know, there's a very interesting scene in the movie Kundun by Martin Scorsese about the Dalai Lama, where the Dalai Lama consults the oracle, and that dude he's just like high out of his mind, right? They need interpreters because he doesn't even use like a normal language. But in the 21st century, we call it frequency. How did this language come about? Well, probably because of television dials, radio dials. People use what's around them. The narratives we create to create allegory and metaphor, the component parts of those narratives are picked up from the stuff around us that we can use metaphorically, kind of like salvaging stuff in an auto depot or something, an auto junkyard. It's the way it happens. Okay? And so frequency is a buzzword. David Icke does really well with that. I like David Icke. I'm going through a bit of a David Icke renaissance. I engaged him in the 90s, left him alone for 20 years, and now I'm re-engaging him, and I find him very interesting, and he's done a tremendous service for the human race. Tremendous service. Okay? Absolutely. That dude put it all on the line, man. He was made to be a laughingstock. And he had a nice life, man. He was a BBC broadcaster, an ex-professional football player, beautiful family, two sons. Man, they just, nobody can mock you and publicly ridicule you like the Englishman. That's their thing. That's why they're all so, yes, governor, no, governor. That's why they're all so beaten down, right? They're coming out of it a little bit, if Guy Ritchie is any indication, the filmmaker. But that was a real break you down, know your place society, right? And that's a big thing in this emerging draconian world, which is not going to fully manifest because they can't win this war. They don't have the heart. They don't have the spirit. They don't have the energy. They don't. And new players have come in. I don't know what I would call them. Let's just say if the human race has been heavily influenced by a small group of negative extraterrestrials for a long time. That changed. That changed. And so what's happening now is it's more of a fair fight. And if you'll notice, one of the things that has attended the Trump presidency is these people do get caught with their pants down quite a bit. Now, let's never forget that everything they've tried up until this moment has failed. Russiagate failed miserably. Not only did it fail, if Trump gets a second term, they're all going to jail, including Obama. I know we've been singing this tune a long time, but have a little patience. Trump is not with them, I assure you. Can't guarantee it, but I can give you my assurance that I'm at a heart level, I'm fully conscripted to Trump, because there's no way we get through this without leadership in the malignant structures. If they control everything, the presidency, the House, the Congress, everything, the judiciary, the Supreme Court, it doesn't matter how many Americans wake up. They control the police, and you're the most policed country in the world. You know, the United States has probably more police officers per capita than any country in the world. The land of the free sure does need a lot of policing, doesn't it? I always go back to an example that a YouTuber I listen to once in a while, Sadhguru, the Indian Ayurvedic master. I listen to him once in a while. You know, he told this story one time about, you know, Indian culture and aspects of it that people don't take note of. And he gave a ratio of about, at any given time in an 8-hour shift, there are about 4 police officers in the rural areas of India for every 250,000 people. Now just think about that for a moment. 250,000 people. How many police would a municipality or a town or anything like that in the United States or Canada, how many police would they have for 250,000 people? Probably quite a bit, right? Probably quite a bit. I'd say the ratio is about 1 to 100, right? So when you look at everything that's going on around you, and it is ugly, the key is to stay in an active position, because the magic is to get you into a reactive position. As John Lennon said, don't get angry, man. They know how to handle you when you're angry. Very wise advice from John Lennon there. I think he broke his Tavistock programming. That's why they took him out. Right? Very strong, strong soul, that John Lennon. Don't get angry, man. They know how to handle you when you're angry. So this is all baiting you now, man. This is a bait line in the woods. You got professional trackers and guides in Canada that do the fall bear hunt, and rich Europeans, Germans, and Americans fly in. They pay top dollar to hunt a black bear, man, like $3,000 a person. And the tracker, because he's so well paid, he has to make sure that they encounter a bear. And it's not like these fat asses are lugging themselves, you know, 10 miles through the woods like a true native animal tracker, right? It's not like it's an honorable hunt. No, man, they're sitting up in a tree platform, and the tracker has been running bait lines. He knows exactly where the bears are going to be and when they're going to be there. And so these lazy people who just want to kill something sit up in the tree platform, wait for the bear to come in, and the guide says, okay, there it is, shoot. And they shoot and they kill it. And if that doesn't work, if the bait line doesn't work for any reason, you know what the final recourse is in Northern Ontario? I was told this by trackers. I tree planted, you know, in the late 80s, I tree planted way up in Northern Ontario, and I met some of these guys who do this for a living. They run hunt lodges. People fly in. The Germans love it, man. Americans love it. You know what the final recourse is if the bait line doesn't work? They blowtorch honey in a cast iron skillet. Okay, so that's what Pelosi and Schumer and the deep state are doing to you guys now. They're trying to bring you into a kill box. They're trying to bring you into a kill zone. They're trying to get you to react. Okay, and they know how you're going to react because they've studied, if not co-written through the centuries, the book that you're using as your basis, the Bible. You get it? You get it? It's not end days by decree of prophecy. It's end days by their plan. They want you to believe it is, so you act in an irrational way. I hope this is getting through to some people. I hope I'm not wasting my breath here. And let me say, as I always do, that the teachings of the Christ are top drawer, man. I reread the Gospels 2-3 times a year. The Christ told you the truth. It's all about love. It's all about forgiveness if you want to live a good life and stay constructive and active, not reactive. He gave you the consequences. If you behave this way, this is going to happen. Anyone who harms a hair on a child's head, it would be better they put a millstone around their neck and threw themselves into the sea. That's what he thought of pedophiles. It's all taken care of. Don't worry about it. The system we live in, the actual energy that sustains our reality, is self-correcting. What the magicians do is they get unaware people to step on their landmines so they don't pay their karmic debt, so they're not punished for their sin. That's what they do. That's what these bait lines are all about. So as I go through my analysis and I say the things I do about Christianity, realize at no time will I ever malign the teachings of the Christ, because they're unimpeachable. They are spiritually perfect. They're beautiful. I would remind you only that many people have come to this planet and given the exact same message. And nobody can save you but yourself. See you on the other side.
Engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me death!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point on Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
Who owns you? If you're not in control, then someone else is. Join me, Ivy West, for Voices on the Wind, Saturday. I discuss government, health, metaphysics, suppressed science, universal mysteries, little-known incredible facts, alternative energies, and even more than you can imagine.
There is blood on the wire.
Won't you join us on Revolution Radio Saturdays for Voices on the Wind, with me, Ivy West.
There are lives in the balance, people under fire, children at the cannons. There are...
Because if your head's in the sand, your tail is a target.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm, So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio!
Ladies and gentlemen, Bruce McDonald here, McDonald in the Morning. I want to say that I'm really enjoying this time slot, and I'm really enjoying 5 days a week. It's turned out to be a real nice way to start my day, and speak English. It forces me to do a little bit of work every day, to go over these books and to choose my book selection. I've got it lined up for like the next 2 months, the books I'm going to do one a week. And I have people reaching out to me. People are liking the show. I'm getting people reaching out on Facebook. And as I said, people I've never seen in chat, these are the real listeners, the people who are just out there listening. Not that the chat people are not real listeners. You're the sort of heart of the whole thing. Sorry I'm not in chat for these shows, folks, but I got to preserve my bandwidth for Skype. It's a one-task internet system I have here. I can either be on a web browser or on Skype or listening to or watching a YouTube, but I have to watch mine at 144 DPI, the lowest resolution. So that's why it's not that I'm being standoffish, folks. I don't have the bandwidth to be in chat. I usually check in at the end of the show and say thanks for listening. So I do apologize for not being the interactive host, but I have a good reason. And so I went outside in the break to get a coffee, and there's something of a chicken holocaust going on out there. Our chickens have matured and, so they all have to be harvested. Otherwise, I got to keep feeding them. And they're already all at 2 kilograms now, 4.4 pounds. So my wife's been prepping chickens all morning. And that's quite a process, let me tell you. You got to kill the chicken. You got to boil it. Nobody plucks, by the way. You boil a chicken. And so we have a standing, I don't know how I would describe it. They do this thing in Costa Rica. It's like a standing fireplace. So you build it up on wood. So you got four posts. They don't go into the ground. They sit on top of the ground. And then you create a box, and the box is about, I'd say it's about, how big is that? It's about 2.5 feet long and about 1.5 feet deep. And then in the bottom of it, you build up the box about 6 or 8 inches, and you fill the bottom with a little bit of dirt, and then when that layer of dirt starts, then you start burning stuff, and you get a layer of fire ash. And then you build a fire, and then you put cement blocks in there, And then you run a couple of metal, they're not posts, they're rectangular. But anyways, just like these metal things, okay? And that's what you put your pot on top of, and the fire is underneath the pot. So when we have to keep fire going for like hours, we do it with fire. We don't use the propane system because you'd go through a tank of propane like really quickly. So it's a bit of a chicken holocaust out there. I think my wife has prepped like 7 chickens for sale, but they got to be boiled, plucked, gutted, cleaned. It's quite a process, indeed. And then the chickens get sold. It's significantly more pleasant than harvesting a pig, though, I'll tell you that. And generally the way it goes down up here on the mountain is the women do the chicken and the men qualquiera. ¿Tú pensas ahora es oscuro aquí?
No, por aquí, yo por el sol.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, where was I? I get distracted so easily. My wife's using my cell phone all the time. It's basically become her cell phone. Hers is getting repaired. It's ready now. But picking it up and having it delivered from San Jose where it got repaired is difficult now because all the transportation services are down. They have a courier service that they use just in Costa Rica. They use the bus system. So you know how underneath those Greyhound buses, there's that luggage space and everything? Well, people don't travel with anything but handbags over here. So it all goes in the overhead in the bus. And the underneath there, you can move stuff around Costa Rica. So you could literally move anything. It's really cheap, too. Like it's like post office cheap. It's like you can send a little box for like a buck and a half. And then you have the people who are getting it have to go to the bus station and get it with some ID. And in this case, you know, my wife's son, my stepson, he lives where the phone repair company was. YY, by the way, the Chinese company. YY is huge here, by the way. Huge. Because they undercut with the prices, right? Because they don't have the R&D expense to recoup because they steal everything. Yeah, I just said that out loud. How do the Chinese undersell everything? They don't have the R&D investment. You think this piracy doesn't have consequences in the grand economic scheme? Of course it does. That's how they undercut. Their business model doesn't incorporate R&D. It's all reverse engineered, right? So anyways, so the phone's ready. But anyways, in the interim, my wife, man, her and her sisters, they're just on the WhatsApp all day. It's just like it's like they're sitting in a room knitting together all day, except it's all done digitally. So I don't have a phone anymore. My phone has been confiscated until her phone gets back. What I wanted to talk about in this last quarter is a very important concept that I want to try and convey to you folks. I'm going to forgo the Gods of Eden for this show, Tuesday, July 14th. You know, when I get a YouTube site up and going and I'm doing the books, I'll just exclude the shows where I don't talk about the books. For those of you who tuned in exclusively for the Gods of Eden today, I do apologize. I'm less than consistent in these spontaneous tangents. I do acknowledge that, but I follow the law of inspiration, and today I feel inspired to talk, so there you go. So the concept I want to get across to you is charging and discharging. Now, this is a very interesting paradigm, and it exists in our legal system in a very specific way. That is the most explicit place that it's explained is the legal system. Now, remember, before money was invented in its modern incarnation, which is 1684 with the Bank of England. Now, banks existed. I mean, as we get into the Gods of Eden, the Knights Templar had banks, right? But, you know, and going back to the 13th century. But they weren't really fiat. You know, they would create bonds or notes, and they would pass those notes around, and the Templars had a big pile of gold, treasure, gems, almost like a pirate cave as well. Literally, what they had was a pirate cave full of treasure. So if anyone ever called in the note for real wealth, they got real wealth. It would be like using a US dollar and saying, I'm tired of this stuff. I want to actually hold the gold in my hand. going down to the treasury, giving them $5,000 and getting a few ounces of gold in your hand. That's what banking used to be. When I say banking in its modern form, I mean the fiat note. I mean the fractional reserve model, okay, which began in England. Babylon originally, but I don't like to cast my narratives into the past to that degree. I think that's a mistake, by the way, that the alternative media is making, the big narrative. You know, it's interesting to know about Atlantis and Lemuria. It's interesting to read Graham Hancock. But we're in a guerrilla war right now. You know, we shouldn't be abstracting our thinking and taking ourselves into these big time cycles of 14 and 28,000 years and all of this sort of stuff, right? Because it's all coming down to this moment. This is a very important moment we're living right now. This generation of human beings on the planet is one of the most blessed generations of all time. If you view life as an experience, we will have been alive for this experience, and this experience is going to be something unbelievable and astounding as it unfolds in the coming years and decades. It's going to be mind-blowing what's going on. So, charging and discharging, okay? So when you get charged up, you're marked. That's the first thing, okay? You're marked. You know, people talk about putting marks on people all the time. You know, you can't buy or sell without the mark. Everybody thinks the microchip is the mark, or the holographic tattoo is the mark. The Christians are going crazy about this. I'm telling you, you're being played. I'm not saying get the vaccine. That's total crap. Don't get the vaccine. But they're playing you, okay? Do you really think if these people wanted to do this, they wouldn't find a way to, they wouldn't be able to find a way to do it that made Christians think it was the right thing to do? Of course they would. So the very fact that they're doing it in such an antagonistic way is telling you that the whole thing is a bear trap for Christians. That's what it's telling you. Because these people don't think one-dimensional like that. This isn't a cartoon. This isn't the Roadrunner and the Coyote. They're way smarter than that. So when you get charged, you get marked, right? And in the justice system, you lose part of your freedom. Your charge may involve restrictions of freedom. If you have to get bail, and you have to get bail for almost everything now, right? You have restrictions on your freedom. You have curfews. You have all kinds of stuff, right? And so that doesn't lift until you're discharged. Okay, so you're charged and you're discharged. This is the basis of the electrical system as well. This is the basis when you look at the word charge, you know, in Vatican language and the language of European royalty, they charge a group of men with a mission. You know, the Knights Templar were charged. They were charged with the Inquisitions. They were charged with the Jerusalem message. Okay? The Jerusalem mission. And the idea of charging ties into what we would call the universal mind power. Okay? It's an aspect of consciousness that a lot of people confuse with God. It is true what some hosts on this radio station say. And it's worded a number of different ways. Some people will talk about that Australian book, The Secret. Some people will talk about the way Keith AZ articulates it, we're all reality generators. It is true that human consciousness is a co-creator in the unfolding timeline. But the complexities of it are so enormous, I usually avoid talking about it. Because when you give a simple, dumbed-down version, it's not going to help people. It's actually probably going to get them into more trouble. So, the universal mind power works going out and coming in. Nobody, and I mean nobody I've ever heard in alternative radio talks about the coming in path. Okay? So a certain state of mind, like hope, energetic commitment, unfailing spirit, can manifest a reality. Right? And it comes from the heart, and it's channeled through the mind. This is the principle of magical intentional manifestation. Okay? When you get into magic, they bring a lot of more elements into it to speed up the manifestation process. But for most of us, our lives are unfolding in accord with our energetics. So the higher your consciousness, the faster your reality unfolds. When you get up to the really high level of consciousness, you really have to forgo thinking. The saints and the masters, they don't even think, really. They're just in a constant state of spiritual participation with the primary energy. They don't think because they don't want anything. And they've trained themselves not to think, right? Because thinking is a production. It's an assembly line. You're asking reality to manifest something. This isn't a matrix and it isn't a hologram. The scientific language that has crept in has despiritualized it. This reality we live in is manifested and maintained by the energy of the prime creator, what I would call God. The primary aspect of the energy is consciousness itself. To have a focal point, consciousness needs a few things attached to it. The most specific focal point for consciousness is an incarnation, a mammal, a human body. And you have a focal point. You begin to identify with the body, and everything that you experience is channeled through the focal point of your incarnation. So, because what's in the body is a spiritual being, this spiritual being inherits the powers of its creator. Because the part of you that is soul is an aspect of God. Most of the spiritual teachings on the planet try their very best to not teach you that, right? And this is why the submission on your knees, put your ass up in the air and touch your head to the ground when you want to talk to Allah, and kissing the Pope's ring and all of this kind of nonsense. What it does ultimately is it reinforces a subject-object relationship with God. You're the subject, he's the object. Worship the object, the ultimate truth. But in the end, in the final stage of the journey, what's really going on is you're the same thing. Now, I realize I just crossed a line there that some people, spellbound by their religions, might call blasphemous. Well, deal with it. You say a lot of things that piss me off, so just deal with it. Okay? It doesn't mean you run around and saying, I'm God, I'm God, I'm God, or we're all gods. The person who immediately comes to my mind when I say that out loud is Michael Aquino. He said that exact thing on the Oprah Winfrey Show. We're all gods. He's not lying, but by the time you get to that level of consciousness, you don't want anything because the company of God is all you ever wanted. That's the part the Satanists leave out. But my point here is that the universal mind power is a two-way street. So when you manifest, your energy is going out and manifesting something. It could be an opportunity. It could be anything you want in your new car. It could be an opportunity for work. It could be a spouse. It could be a boyfriend, a girlfriend. And people get pretty belligerent about these forms of manifestation. You know, when I was doing the book with Bob, The Light of Darkness, he was telling me that one of the main reasons that people go to see a Palo Mayombe priest is to make someone fall in love with them. Very interesting, isn't it? You know, that's their bread and butter in terms of the commercialized practice of Santeria and Palo Mayombe and all of these Caribbean magical systems that masquerade as saint worship, right? Like Santeria does. That's the outflow. The inflow is as follows. If an external force can put you into a state of mind, they charge you. Okay? So now I'm going to explain to you how karma works. Karma is the consequence of something an individual or a collective of human beings has already done. It's sitting just above us, and it has to manifest on the planet as a consequence of action. The high-level magicians, the wizards, they understand this. And what they do is they charge human beings up to get them to think and feel a certain way so they're suitable repositories for the karmic cloud that's sitting above the human race. Nobody's ever told you that before. Nobody's ever told you before that there's a duality to the universal mind power. It's not all just about reality generation. The reason I bring it up now is because this is what's going on in the world now. And they're going to use your religious texts to charge you up. What I'm telling you is you're being set up for the same fate as the Christ. You're being set up to be the sacrifice. That's what those, beyond the Gospels, when you get into the unauthorized teachings of Christ, and they are unauthorized, you can believe, I mean, Bramley did a chapter on this. I've already done the chapter on the book of Revelation and the gods of Eden. He finds it very dubious. He would call that a custodial chapter in the Bible. The custodians wrote that one. You can believe John was inspired by a vision of Christ if you want, but why did Christ not give that while he was alive? Why didn't he write it down himself? So you have to be very careful dealing with this material. Especially when you understand the dimensionality of it and you understand the karmic liabilities of it. And the reason you would die in this instance is because you would end up picking up the debt for somebody else's karma. We want this karma, we want this consequence to land where it belongs, which is the people who commence the cycle. We don't want the karma dissipated by willing fools willing to martyr themselves for it. Because the system is already perfect. What confuses the unfoldment of the perfect timeline is the human belief that you have to interfere in it, that it's not already perfect and working, that you got to do something about it, that you got to get real angry, that you got to react to what these evil people are doing in Washington. You charge yourself. It's literally like walking out into a wide open field at the very beginning of a lightning storm. You can start to hear the thunder. It hasn't started raining yet. The sky is pitch black in the middle of the day. You can just see a big storm coming. And what you do is you walk out into the middle of the field holding a 10-foot copper pole with a ball at the top of it. And you stand there. Lightning's going to hit you, right? It's the same way this karma works. It's sitting above us, okay, as a body of energy that has to be resolved in the timeline as the consequence of human action on this planet. If left to its own devices, it will find the origin of the energy and punish it. If the origin of the energy is smarter than you, it can talk you into being the proxy martyr to take on that energy. I really hope people understand what I'm saying today, because this is maybe one of the most important things I've revealed ever on air. Some people are not going to believe it, but I'm telling you at a mechanistic way, the dual worlds are all mechanistic, okay? The Masons are not wrong. They see the universe as a grand architecture, and the architect has left. They believe God has vacated this reality, but the mechanistic system God set up is still working. This is the delusion of these people. They've been blinded to God, but they've been given high consciousness nonetheless. They've been given multidimensional consciousness because the left-hand path can go really high. It can go so high, most people would be convinced they're dealing with an agent of God. But it's the exact opposite. So they don't see God. But God never, nothing in this whole reality would operate if God wasn't here. The stones wouldn't even hold together if God wasn't here. No life would be here if God wasn't here. What the hell are the Masons talking about? God isn't here. They've gone mad, folks. They've gone mad, as do all the people who study this magical system. Because unbeknownst to them, the magical system was given to them to trick them. They think they're smarter than everybody, these Talmudic Kabbalistic Masons. They're actually stupider. Get out of the way and let their fate find them. Let their fate find them. Let their fate find them. Anyways, I got about a minute left, maybe 30 seconds. Revolution Radio is, in fact, a listener-supported station. We depend on you to keep doing what we're doing. Please go to revolution.radio, hit the Patreon button, not Patreon, Patreon, it's a different service, and make a donation. Sign up for a monthly, please, if you can afford $5. We need the money. We do a lot of work here for you folks, a lot of work for you folks, and there's no profit in it for us. We do it voluntarily. We'll see you next time, folks.
Listening to Revolution.